Voila, there we go. And you can pick up these lessons online. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Al has it. If somebody else wants it, that's fine too. But we are going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 24. So let's do a review of what's going on from last week. David wants to make a decision.
Turn around here.
David wants to make a decision. Is the decision led by the Lord?
No.
He wants to make a decision, and we're going to analyze why he wanted to make that decision. In the midst of him wanting to make that decision, he also... Oh, you guys can't see everybody else in the room. There you go. Get out of the way. I've got all those happy faces back there. I know I'm blocking somebody. All right.
Hello. Hello.
It's the front that's in the way.
I know. If it keeps getting gray, it's going to look like a big old full-blown dandelion. All right, so... I can see Al sneaking up behind me going... So alright, Joab comes up to David and says, why are you wanting to do this? This is not a good thing to do. David says, I don't care what you say, we're going to do it anyway. Never answers Joab's question. And now we're getting to the point where David's going to realize that he's making a mistake. So there's a couple things that I want to review as we go through this, because we kind of got into the area of politics, which, well, let me just ask you a question. You've heard the saying before, you don't discuss religion and politics. Why?
Because it starts a fight.
Right? So I have wisdom enough and fear enough not to touch those touchy subjects. And it's Ken's fault that we wound up talking about it last week.
But it did not cause a fight. It caused encouragement and blessing last week. It was anointed.
Praise God. So I'm not saying we're going to go there this week, but in our review we will. And so this is why I like the scriptures and Bible study. Because there's nothing new under the sun. And so we need to understand what's happening in this story to see if there's any relevance for us today. Mm-hmm. So, again, as I said last week, 2 Samuel gives us the history. But Chronicles just gives you a little bit more to show you the spirit, what's happening in the spiritual realm. All right. So here's some quick review points that I wrote down from last week. One. What David wants to do doesn't seem bad. I should have put this on my screen. But it is. Why? Here's some reasons why what David wants to do doesn't seem bad. There's nothing illegal about it. He just wants to number the people. He wants to know the number. But why is that a bad decision? One, he never checks with God. Yes. There is something in the Old Testament that says you're not supposed to count or number the number of horses and chariots and things like that. Yes, yes, there is.
He also said for kings not to take too many wives, but David didn't listen to that either.
Okay. He never checks with God. He does this because that's what he wants to do. And his what he wants to do is that in his flesh, soul, or spirit?
Flesh. Soul.
I'm going to take soul, which is still the flesh. But that's where it becomes a problem, because we know when we're in the flesh. But when it's coming out of the soulless realm, emotions get, and then it becomes an issue. because now you're not short. Three, and we see this in 1 Chronicles 21. Al, what does your Bible say in 1 Chronicles 21 that is not in 2 Samuel 24?
What verse?
Verse 1. Oh. Whenever I tell you to read a chapter, let me just go with David here, since he always likes to defend. David, if I tell you to read 1 Chronicles chapter 21, do you know, and I don't give you any verse, you know where to start, right? Don't tell the truth. Don't tell the truth. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? You'll go to the first verse, right?
All right, what do you want me to say?
Verse 1.
Just pray for Al. All right, let's go.
Satan rose up against Israel and caused David to take assistance of the people of Israel.
I love that. That's it. When your motivation for your decision does not come out of the spiritual realm, and it comes out of the flesh or soulless realm, who often shows up?
Satan.
And Satan uses his decision to attack the nation. Got it? Here's some more review. Joab supports David, but he questions and calls him out on this. And he does it in the form of a question. He asks, why? And tells him, if you do this, if you make this policy change, it's going to cause the people to get into trouble. Got it? Mm-hmm. All right. Does David listen?
No.
Does he answer Joab's question? No. Joab asked him a question, and he said, he never answered it. All right, and here's the point that we look. Joab's argument was, David, why do you want to number the people? You can look out your window and see how God is blessing. And that's the argument that Joab takes to David. Application for today. You see the blessing in front of you. So why do you want to do what you want to do? Got it? All right, more review. David doesn't answer the question. But we might be able to answer the question. The question to David from Joab was, why do you want to do this? Have you ever asked somebody a question and they didn't answer? If you ask somebody a question and they don't, and it's a soul searching question, and they don't answer, you can pretty much take it to the bank that they are going to do what they want to do. Yeah, okay, all right. So don't be discouraged. But do we still have a responsibility to ask the question to help them out?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we don't know the reason why he didn't answer or why he wants to do this thing. But last week we talked about a couple things, and Roger brought up a good point or whatever. So pride and doubt or fear can cause you to do what God does not want you to do. So our leaders need to be cautious of pride and fear. All right.
Then they need to have a conscience.
Well, let's say a God consciousness. Okay, there we go. Joab supports David later on, but we see he excludes two groups of people. The Levites and the Benjamites. And we found out that the Levites represent the priests, or the church, and the Benjamites represent his kinfolk. Application. He does not want the policy from his leadership to impact his church or his family. Because Joab said in the Bible that this thing was abominable to him. It meant that what David was going to do, he detested it. And he did not want his religion or his family affected by this policy. Now we get into review, and we got two applications here. Be careful. A twofold application I see. So one is around our nation and the politics. Is this a national, I don't want to say political, but when I look at this story, it was difficult for me to not separate what we're going through today as a nation and as a people from what's happening in this story. So, here's some points from last week. We should pray for our leaders, regardless of who those leaders are. Why? One, because we're commanded to do that, because the scriptures say we're supposed to do that. Why else?
Because if we want them to do God's will and not their will.
Amen. We want them to make spirit-led decisions and not flesh or soulish or emotional decisions. And then from this lesson, back, Al, if you would read 1 Chronicles 21. Oh,
read it.
Okay. So David said to Joab.
No. Verse one. Sorry.
Satan rose up against Israel.
Is there anything new under the sun?
No.
Will Satan still rise up against nations?
Yes.
And who will he attack first, often, in order to cause the nation to fall?
God.
Why should we pray for our leadership? Because the enemy still moves the same way. We should be praying for our leaders.
The enemy wants the land. And like Jimmy said last week, possibly David was looking ahead to something he wanted to keep control of the land.
Is Satan interested in the physical land?
No.
He's looking at it's a spiritual thing. All right. So application for today from this story. We should be praying for our leaders. President Trump's on his way out. Do we need to pray for President Trump?
He's not out.
He ain't out yet. Don't get started now. Don't get started. You better be praying. All right.
He's back in the White House the second term.
All right. Well, okay. So let's keep going. All right.
As Joe always points out, whoever controls the land controls the laws too.
All right. Here's my next point. We contribute to people sinning by agreeing or not speaking out against ungodly policies.
Say that again.
We contribute to people sinning by agreeing or not speaking out against ungodly policies.
True. We've been silent too long.
And you might be saying, well, I'm not the leadership of the country, but you lead something.
Yeah.
and I'm just, Facebook has just been driving me nuts. And last part of this is, got to be careful here. Democrats and Republicans, are they worldly organizations?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if they're worldly, are they holy?
No.
Uh-uh. Could there be some righteous things about them?
Yes.
Uh-uh. But overall, and we did the water example last week, they're not holy because they're worldly. Which means, I see people with the little symbol now, that the 100% thing, which means there's no political group anywhere in the world that is a 100% pure.
True.
So we got to be careful, because there's still worldly organizations, that we don't become 100% in that party and still try to be 100% in God.
Right. Can't have both ways.
Can't have both ways. Man, as long as I can remember, I've been black. Oh, okay. You know, I got a passion for black, all right? I just do. Black lives matter to me because I'm black. I just got a thing for it.
But I want the organization.
No, so let's get that straight. And I don't care if this is being recorded. Don't get Black Lives Matter, the organization, mixed up with a concern for black lives. Because the organization is worldly and whack. And,
that's right. That's right.
Do all lives matter?
Yeah.
Absolutely all lives matter. Yeah. But because I'm black, I got a passion for that piece. Now, if I'm 100% black, can I also be 100% in God?
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Because then my blackness
becomes too important.
Will supersede my. Somebody might disagree. I'm just going to talk about Chuck now. I'm just talking about Chuck.
Yeah.
All
right. You're right.
I'm just going. Maybe you're right, but I'm just going to be Chuck. Because if I see people who are insensitive to black causes, and I'm still trying to be 100% God, emotionally, if I hear somebody say something that ain't quite right or whatever from a black perspective, what is my tendency to want to be? I'm going to want to be defensive. I'm going to want to attack. I'm going to want to be less loving. Let's just be real. I've seen some things on Facebook, and this caused me to kind of look back and go, I never thought that I would see anybody post to say that, and I know who you are. I'm going to have an issue shaking your hand when I see you. I'm not saying about anybody. I'm just talking about me and Mac. All right. and so it's going to be a struggle for me. And some of them are in the church today. And it's going to be a struggle for me to walk by some people and smile or whatever. Al, where am I? What am I dealing with now? Am I operating in my emotions, in the flesh, or in the spirit?
Emotions.
Well, is God going to be pleased by my response?
No.
Then why is this a dilemma all of a sudden? Because I've placed my 100% race into my 100% religion, and the two
don't mix.
So one or the other is going to have to
die.
So I'm going to have to lessen the blackness so that I'm going to have to dial that down so that God is in control. You got that?
Yeah.
So let's take the black thing out and let's put your political party in there. Oh, my goodness. Now, I don't think I've seen anybody in this class do it, but, man, I have a problem when somebody tells me, oh, you can't vote this certain. If you vote for this group, then you can't be saved.
Yeah, that's a bit extreme, don't you think?
It is a bit extreme.
It's very untrue.
Then why do they say that?
They don't really understand salvation.
The mind is funny. So, as evil as Joab is, you got to kind of think about what Joab's doing here, because you know there's a good thing here. I can't let my love for the worldly thing get mixed into my 100% for God thing, or I'll be fooling myself and I won't be 100% for God.
That is a fight that you have to struggle for yourself. You have to fight.
Not if you do. You do have to fight. You do have to fight. But guess what makes the fight easier? That whole thing that we did on Watchman Nee. When I understand where my motivation is coming from, the fight becomes easy. It is real easy for me to come up to somebody of any nationality when I followed my steps and I stayed on the map It's real easy for me to be 100% for God.
Chuck, what you're also saying is true of, quote, man-made religions.
Yeah.
The different religions that man has made.
Which is why we can't talk about religion and politics, exactly. because people get so wound up with their, you know what? And I don't want to get wound up in, well, I see this at the prison all the time. People come and test me. Chuck, what are you? I'm Baptist. Ooh. Then the Pentecostals will go, oh, he Baptist. He don't know anything. And I'm like, oh, but I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I'm a Baptist. Oh. So now they're okay with that. I'm going to tell you, Al, or somebody else, Susan, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would. Al, you just stay where you are, because I don't want you to get confused. And Susan, when you get there, just let me know. All right.
She's there.
Oh man, that's quick. I've been dealing with Al so long, I'm not used to that.
I'm slow, but I'm sure.
That's right.
Well, let me just turn that around. You said you slow, but you sure?
Yeah.
I'm gonna turn that around. You sure slow. All right, so here we go. All right, Susan, if you would read 1 Corinthians 9, 19-23. Verses 19-23. Speak loud if you can.
I bet I can.
I know you can. Jimmy already told me you can.
For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. Mm. To the Jews I become as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I become weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I might, may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it.
Woo!
There it is.
Application for today. When I'm on Facebook, when I'm on social media, when I'm in a group of folk, when I'm interacting with people, I am a Democrat for the sake of the Democrats, to bring them into the knowledge of the gospel. When I'm with Republicans, I meet the Republicans where they are for the sake of the gospel. I'm all things to all people. I want to be all, but basically, what do you mean, Chuck? I want to meet people where they are and then pull them to the truth of the gospel rather than beat them up because they're not where I am or not sensitive to my issues. For the sake of...
Well, that's something that's going to make a change in people. You're going to change the mind of Republican Democrat. But let's say, you know, read the Bible and find out, you know, who they should be for.
About
the gospel.
I mean, if you want to know where I vote, because I'm independent. I'm really happy where we are right now. I was happy where we were in 2016. I like conservative judges, but I'm happy where we are right now.
Would it be better on him?
Are there some scary things out there? We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Would it be better again?
Because all of this, I don't want to get too deep into this, but I'm just going to tell you. Who rules?
God.
Then I'm cool. I'm good. I'm good. Yes, sir, Mac.
Somewhere in the Bible where it says, you find a fool, leave him a fool.
I think probably somewhere in Proverbs. Al is probably familiar with those kind of scriptures.
Let me find where a merry heart is good medicine. I have a merry heart. That's in 22:17, I think it is, in Proverbs. A merry heart is good.
Oh, you have
dry bones ain't gonna get it, baby.
Al, you have convicted me. I realize, Juanita, I must apologize. Because when I came in today, I was 100% against Al. And I realized I can't be 100%. Al is the problem. I can't remember. I can't be 100% against Al and 100% for God. So I gotta ratchet down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Please do.
I will.
Bury all that stuff.
Let me humble myself before the Lord.
He has to have somebody pick on that.
That's how he shows love.
It's a tough love, honey. It's a tough love. I have a tough love for Al.
I have
right.
a tough love.
What happened? I
found
KB.
You're paying
bills. There you are. Okay, here's the last point. Last points. Man, we still haven't got to the new stuff yet. Here's the last point. Don't include the church or your family in policies that detest you.
That detest you?
Yep.
Isn't it pretty telling that he included the other people? Doesn't that show a lack of concern and care?
Well, you gotta obey the law.
Yeah, I see Joab is in a no-win situation here. He's supposed to honor the king and do what the king says because the king is the anointed king. But he sees it as going against his faith. Uh-huh. So what is he to do?
He's not supposed to go against God.
So can he still support the kingdom but just show his detesting, how he detests some of the things that are associated with this decision? Yeah. Can you be Republican but still detest some of the things that the party...
Uh-huh, yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But still go on, hey, I'm going to be Republican, but, you know, I ain't happy about this. And if I can change my little world about this, this is because I need people for the sake of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Can you be Democrat? All right. But are there some things in the Democratic Party that are detestable to you?
Yes. A lot.
So because you ain't a Democrat, but anyway. So make sure your politics don't define who you are. Okay, let me wrap up the review. All right. This is not a political thing. This is a personal thing. Before, and here's the second application. Before you take action, ask God, is it flesh, soul, or spirit? One. Stay on the map, basically. Check where your faith is as you go along throughout the day. Check where your faith is. Two, don't be deceived. This is not just for world leaders. This applies to you. You lead something. And make sure that your actions, your posts, your thoughts don't displease God. Let's take a look at some scripture.
I found if I don't want to ask God, then I'm probably in the flesh.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Chuck.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say, too, also, we need to pay attention to whatever decision we're making, but it's going to affect other people.
Yeah.
Because David's decision, over 70,000 people died.
We're going to get there. Yeah, well, you know what? Time is wrapping up, man. I spent too much time on the review. Let's see how much new stuff we can get. I don't know if we're going to get to the... Well, we might get to the 70. That's interesting. I got to get some scripture. All right, I got two more background scriptures. Al, stay where you are. I need somebody to turn to Matthew. I'll turn to Matthew. I need somebody to turn to Luke chapter 8.
I got it.
All right, and I'm going to read Matthew 14. So you'll know the story. This is Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to start at verse 27. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw him, verse 24. Okay, I'm in Matthew 14, verse 24. All right. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. things around them was working against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's like the darkest part of the night, I believe, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them and saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Application for today. Are there some scary things out there?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. not to get political, but when I see, when I see what's on the horizon potentially,
yeah, it's scary.
That is kind of scary. Yeah. And it was already a little scary for me before. Yeah. So there's some scary things out there that cause you to be afraid. And what I'm seeing here, I'm seeing a lot of Christians who are afraid, and they're responding in fear rather than faith. Now, Jesus never said they didn't have a reason to be afraid. He just said, just don't be overcome by that. But a love and a sound mind. Okay, there you go. All right, and that's what's missing. When you get fearful, the love goes out of the way. All right, yeah. All right. And Peter, verse 28, answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Verse 29, he said, "Come." And when Peter came down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, who is the most mature and the strongest follower of Christ in this story so far? The disciples who are in the boat, or the one who steps out of the boat and is on his way walking on the water, doing impossible, never before seen things, following Christ who was doing it first and getting closer to him? Who is closer to Jesus? Peter or the dudes in the boat?
Yeah.
All right.
Give me a hint.
Well, the consensus is that Peter is close to the Lord. Is he walking on water?
Yeah.
Is his circumstances keeping him down?
No.
Is he afraid?
No. Not for a minute.
Not yet.
And then
he's keeping his eyes fixed on Jesus. Oh, praise God, that's a good one. He's keeping his eyes fixed on Jesus. So are the things that are happening around him really impacting him?
Yes.
No.
He asked for a word from Christ.
Oh my goodness, he asked for a word from Christ. Is that word still relevant for today?
Yes.
Come.
Yes.
Come. Come out of your comfort zone. Come. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Now, who is closer to Christ? But who's sinking? Who is in better shape spiritually? The people in the boat or Peter? I say the people in the boat are doing a whole lot better now than Peter. Oh, let me ask this question. Is Peter still on the map?
Well, no, he got off.
Yeah, you know what Peter's doing right now? He's thinking.
Well, yeah.
Wait a minute now.
He took his eyes off.
So, wait a minute. So, you're telling me that Peter is better than the rest of the disciples?
Yes.
Wait a minute. But he took his eyes off.
But he took never his put their eyes on him.
He took his eyes off that and looked at what?
But then he still asked for help.
He
but before he, I see you skipping steps, you skipping steps, you skipping steps. Before he asked Christ for help,
he took his eyes off.
He said, where is he on the mat when he took his eyes off Jesus?
He's off the mat.
That's why he get off.
In the boat.
And when he saves him, where does Christ put him? Here's the problem with some Christians.
Which has gotten back to humility, really.
And identifying with me.
Waiting and watching.
Here's the problem with a lot of Christians. You got out of the boat, and you are super saints. and then you let fear get in your religion and in your position in Christ, and you start posting and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and you still think
you're on the map, but you're not.
That's true.
You got to pick up your cross and make sure that what you're doing is for the sake of the gospel.
Every single moment.
Because there's some scary, scary stuff out there that might happen on the horizon as a Christian. I'm looking at that stuff going, ooh, I don't know about that. And it will cause me, if I'm 100%, if I'm not 100% Christ, it will cause me to react and to post and repost and do some stuff, all right? Out of
fear.
One thing the Lord said to me this week, one time, he said, Susan, do you go out in a storm? And recently we've had several storms, so it was very vivid in my mind, especially that last one where a tree came up out of the ground. And I could see that. He said, do you go out in it or do you stay in shelter? I said, you stay in shelter. He said, don't go out in the storm. Pull in to me. Pull in to your safety. Pull in to the shelter of the Most High. Pull in home. Make sure your home is a safe place. Make sure your home is a place where people can come and be safe.
Amen. Look at Luke. Who had Luke 8?
I do.
If you read verse 22 through 25, I'm sorry. Juanita, it's hard. I'm going to tell you, it's hard.
Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake. And they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he rose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. But then he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the weather, and they obey him.
Here's the question that all of us as believers need to be asking. When is does Christ rule?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is his will going to be done?
Right. Yes.
Boom. Are there going to be some scary things along the way?
Oh, yes.
If we don't respond in the Spirit, then Christ is going to be asking the same question of us. Where is your faith?
Well, that's why those scary things come, so he can see our response.
I hate that you said that, but I think that...
Sorry.
No.
I think he's also saying, hey, if you're on board with me, why ain't you worried?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. All right. He said, 2 Samuel chapter 24. We got a couple minutes. This is new material. Yeah, I know. It's just, it's Davey's fault because I was doing all this review for his benefit.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think you're doing it for my neurons that we appreciate.
Okay, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right, verse 10. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. We talked a little bit about this last week. When does David realize that he screwed up?
After the fact.
After the fact, but then after?
He had time.
After what?
After your spirit trouble.
Yeah, spirit trouble, but the spirit didn't trouble him first. There's something happened before David got a clue. Everything you said is correct, but I'm looking for the proper sequence. Because if we don't get this thing in the right sequence, we might miss God's mercy.
David realized he had done something wrong.
When did he realize he'd done something wrong?
When
after he had numbered the people.
Taking account of the people. Counted the people.
Y'all better look at verse 11 again. We didn't do this last week. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, my bad. Look at verse 11.
Yeah, didn't it? Yeah. My mind says in 10 that David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's true. Look at verse 11. Mm-hmm. What's the first word in verse 11?
When.
Now.
Good. I got four. When David was up in the morning, think about this now. When David was up in the morning, did his heart smote him yet?
Yes.
I don't think so. It says it in 10. But look at 11.
When the word of the Lord came to
David, here's how I think. I think this might have. Okay, now you know what? You might be right. You might be right. But here's what I'm thinking. I don't think, because you got to realize, how long was David playing around with this from last week?
9 months.
More than 9 months, David, and his heart hadn't smote him after 9 months. Now all of a sudden, his heart is smote. Because in verse 11, it says, I'm reading it this way. I might be wrong, but I'm reading it this way. David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. All right? Because in verse 11, it says, when David got up in the morning, what came to him?
The word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord. And when he heard the word of the Lord, guess what happened? Verse 10. So here's my point. Whether I'm right or wrong, here's my point. You can try to convince people all day long, but the best way to try to convince somebody is through what? The word. It's the word. When David gets the word, he realizes, oh my goodness, I screwed up. Is there any application for today?
Yes, we have today the Holy Spirit in us to convict us of our sins. Back here, back then, God sending the prophet to remind David of what he had done. But since Jesus had came, we have the Spirit, Holy Spirit living within us.
Yes.
To remind us and to convict us of the things that is not of God.
How did you get saved? How did anybody here get saved?
Accepted.
Before you accept. Wait, Sandra said. Somebody told you what? Somebody told you?
Somebody told me about Jesus.
And where'd they get that? Where'd they get? They shared with you what?
The word of God.
They shared the word of God. When they shared the word of God to you, what did you recognize?
The truth.
That you need Him. Did you have to humble yourself after you heard the word? Did you feel bad after you heard the word? Did you want to change after you heard the word? Did you want to change direction after you heard the word? And then did you put your hope in Jesus? Oh my goodness. And then did the Holy Spirit try to come in and start to change the way that you?
Amen.
Are you back on the map?
Yes, sir.
What keeps you? So if that's how you started, what, as Paul would say, what has gotten you off of the truth? Do we still need to do the same thing?
Yeah.
It's the word.
Word.
All right, so let me get ready. It's 10:33. Let me wrap this up. Verse 13. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land. He's giving them a choice.
Or get a choice.
Well,
that's what punishment we get.
Now, my dad wasn't the most spiritual guy. I mean, he was saved, but he wasn't the most spiritual guy. I mean, he didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. But now I'm understanding how some of the things that my dad did were lined up with Scripture.
When did you get 7 years from, Drew?
Mine said
3 years.
Mine said seven. Mine said seven.
You're in Chronicles.
Uh-oh. Oh, mine says 7 years of famine.
7 years of famine.
3 months, or you shall three months
for
your enemy.
I'm in 2 Samuel.
It's in 3 years.
3 years
of famine.
I said 7 years of famine.
7 years. I got seven. Bible, okay. I'm going to pray for all y'all.
Three.
All right. Let me just do it right there. We're going to lay hands on you before you leave. All right. Okay. We got to wrap this up. All right. Let me get you to something here. All right. So I didn't realize that my dad was spiritual because look what he's doing here. He's saying, look, you screwed up. So you got a choice. You can choose 7 years of famine or flee 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you, or that there'll be 3 days of pestilence in the land. Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. I remember my dad wasn't as gracious as God. He only gave me 2 choices. He said, yeah.
Belt or what?
Well, maybe those 3. Belt, switch, what? Hey, I can beat your brains out or you can go on punishment. What, which one do you want to do? You know.
You froze it.
You good? We still good? All right.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes.
Frozen.
Tracy, you all right?
Yeah, I was going to say, when we were talking about, you're saying 7, some Bible saying 3.
Right.
At the bottom of my Bible, it says that it's 7 in Hebrew.
Yeah, I see that too.
Okay.
So if you're going to say 3, it's interpreted in Hebrew 7, so I think that's where the confusion is coming in.
All right. So we're going to stop at verse 14. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. How did he get in trouble? By not operating in the spirit.
Living in the flesh.
Amen. Could he have avoided this trouble that he's in right now?
Yes.
Could we avoid the trouble that we caught?
Yes.
Just by, as Al said last week, stay on the mat.
But we're not perfect.
Stay on the map. But look at what David says. Let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. We're going to look at that next week. I want to finish this chapter. We didn't. And, you know, I'll tell you, my dad, after a while, used to give me a choice. He said, punishment or the beating? You know what I took?
Beating.
No, I took the punishment. And then after a while, I changed my mind. Like, man, this punishment lasted too long.
Yeah.
I'm like, give me the beating. Because if I holler loud enough, his mercy, he might stop.
I didn't give you a choice.
You get both. You got real bad. You got real bad. You got both. All right, so Chip said he got both. All right. All right.